You can help support the channel by heading to our merchandise store and picking up some of our great aircraft designs created by our graphic designer. We have everything from fighters to transport aircraft, which you can choose to have printed on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and much, much more. Head to the description below and click the links and pick up your design today. Thank you and enjoy. So Pete, then you, from your F-14 exchange, you went on to fly the Tornado. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So yeah, we left the States 84, just for Christmas, came back, and then 85, started on 229 OCU at Coningsby, bless it, with the mighty F2 as it then was. I think, I was trying to remember how many, I think there were 12 F2s it worked out to be in the end. But basically, we've come back. We'd heard all about this blue circle, radar, and all the stuff like that. Sadly, it was true because the radar development wasn't as far advanced as it should be. And then to keep the aircraft flying and stuff like that, you had to put ballast in the front where the radar should have been. And so, yeah, we're not blue circles. People are coming out. Was it a shock having come from the F-14, which I don't love? Yeah, beyond, absolutely beyond. You can look at the history of the F2, F3. Bear in mind, the Phantom was coming to the end of its life. The Lightnings, yeah, they're getting a bit long in the tooth and stuff like that. So we, UK, needed a replacement aircraft. They'd actually looked at the F-14, they looked at the F-15, they looked at the F-16, they looked at them all. But I think it was, A, probably cost, prohibitively expensive, and B, you know, you needed to protect the European industry, and particularly British Aerospace. Mm-hmm. For us, British Aerospace said, yeah, they could develop a variant of the Tornado, call it Tornado ADV. Why not? It should have been there mid-70s, late-70s. As it was, here we are in 85, and we still haven't got it, you know?
Yeah.
I know, I'm not saying British Aerospace fell down on their promises. I don't know, I wasn't in procurement, stuff like that. But we'd ended up with the F2, you know, this thing, bless it. And I haven't looked at my log, but I'm sure I did fly this at some point. Yeah. Was it ever a fighter? No. No. You know, it was an air defense variant of a bomber. I think if you've been generous, you'd probably call it an agile interceptor. To say Stu and I were shocked was probably beyond belief. As an example, we talked about, you know, line replaceable units on the Tomcat. I remember one of my early sorties in the Tornado F2, I said, where on start we'd had a problem, and it was the air data computer. So the air data computer was bad, and we saw when we looked at the bomber earlier on, it's got a central maintenance panel on the right hand side with all these little LEDs, and it comes up, tells you what's wrong. So I asked the comment, said the air data computer was wrong. So I said, okay, the truth, we'll set it in, we'll change it. He said, what, sir? I said, well, sit in while you change it. Then you're having a laugh, sir. No, no, no. He said, it's got to go in the hangar. We've got 12 hours of functionals.
Wow.
No, you're taking the piss. I said, no, no. That's what, so that was it, excuse me. You crew out, and I was thinking, what have we come to?
Oh.
The other thing was, and again, it's not a criticism of software engineers. The software engineer had done his job. Or her job, or in modern parlance, indeterminate job, but somebody had done the job. And they looked at it and said, right, when you do an intercept, you start off at long range, your radar, sorry, left to come up, bing bong, finds the target, you track the target, you allocate it into what was an attack store. So when the radar had contact with the target, it would designate it A, B, C, D, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you would load your attack store, and it was the order in which you're going to attack the aircraft, A, B, C, D, for interest. Right, so the pilot in the front would select a weapon. So you start off with Skyflash. So on the inboard throttle, there was a button that went MRAM, SRAM, gun. Yeah, so Skyflash, Sidewinder, gun. If you were in Sidewinder, on the outboard throttle, left throttle, you could select Boresight, or you could slave it to the radar.
Right.
Okay, so it would look where the radar target first time was looking. Well, that sounds great. In a desk environment, sat in your office, that the, you know, run the intercept ABCD. The problem was, when we got the radar, the Fox Hunter, it would track swap. So you'd loaded about A, B, C, D as your attack priority, but then A and B track swapped.
Right.
So you had to reload the priority, or more correctly, the backseat had to reload the priority, and then it'd track swap again. And then you come in, shoot your weapon. Yeah, but if you're in a combat environment where you're maneuvering, now you want to easily step between your missile selections or your gun. And this having this 1, 2, 3, where were you in your bloody weapon selection when you're maneuvering around? You know, it was whereas I was used to on the, you know, Tomcat, I just put it where I wanted it to be. It wasn't bloody some sequential button pushes. So yeah, from a software point of view, what he designed was brilliant. From an operator's point of view, pilot and backseater, it was a bloody ergonomic disaster. So that was the thing. And I must admit, I kid you not, when I said, so I got married in the States to a Navy nurse, I seriously considered going back to the States.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I think if Stewie was here, he'd say, so did he.
Nowhere?
Yeah, it was just, we lose this dude, bloody hell.
But do you not feel, I always thought like the Tomcat and Tornado F2, F3 were kind of similar, you know, similar-ish roles, swing wing, two seats, two engines.
Yeah.
Wasn't just a completely different aircraft?
Well, no, it's going to be, bear in mind, where this came from was a bomber.
Yeah.
Optimised for low level. And low level, yeah, fine. Engines designed to go into reheat once, IP to target,
yeah.
And that was it. Whereas we're now using it for something it wasn't designed to do. Mm-hmm. On the OCU at the time, it was interesting because there were a lot of talented people that had come from the Lightning, Phantom, various exchange officers had come back from F-14, F-15, F-16 exchanges who'd experienced modern technology onto this thing.
Yeah.
And we went, bloody hell. So, well, we, frustrated, I think it was more than anything, you know, looking for something, frustrated that, you know, hold on, there was all this modern technology out there and we'd got this. You know, surely we could improve this, stuff like that. And I remember that at the time, it was the next person that badmouthed this aircraft is off my squadron. Cut a long story short, it then came to the AOC at the time, decided to come up and talk to us. You know, what were the issues? And I remember he walked in the crew room and said, right, okay, guys. Yeah, all ranks off. It's just you and me. We'll have an honest chat. Okay. Yeah. He got both barrels from the team. Just, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. I think he's left it. Right, I can have you bastards back on the Lightning and Phantom tomorrow, if you know. What happened to the, you know, it's just a talk. Anyway. Then what came, I'm not sure it came out of that, but what then happened was the OEU formed, the Operational Evaluation Unit formed, and I was going to say, hugely intelligent, brain the size of a planet, a chap called Mel Gleave, who took over the OEU, made quantum changes, you know, probably where the aircraft should have been.
Right.
So we ended up with a proper weapon selector, proper air-to-air override modes. You know, the radar went through evolution after evolution. And so by the time you got to early 90s and stuff like that, really the aircraft was much, much, much more capable.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to be a fighter, but it was certainly good in what it did. We had chaff and flares, you know, and the radar was performing. They got rid of the attack store, you know, you could just designate targets there. So the aircraft had got to where it probably should have been at the start.
Yeah.
So yeah, but did I enjoy flying? Yeah. It was a lot of fun. You know, you're flying an aircraft.
Yeah.
You've put up with what you've got. Was it, you know, a modern fighter? No, as I said, it was an agile interceptor. Where we lacked technology, we overcame with tactics.
Yes.
As the Air Force, we've always done. You know, if we haven't got the best kit, we've got the best operators, and generally we've got the best tacticians. Mm-hmm. And so that's where she ended up being.
How did you find the cockpit coming from the Tomcat? That wing sweep, manual wing sweep, must have been really irritating.
Beyond, absolutely. You know, how many in its life, how many were there inadvertent overstresses? Because you'd be flying along with the wings at 45, and you'd be going, brruh, 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 and the back says, wings! And people would move them forward and said, oh, bolts, instead of back. why did we never get the wing sweep cleared? Because the Saudis had automatic wing sweep and used it.
Was it not an expenditure thing? Because
good question, Mike. It's, you know, you'd have to go and ask probably some people around here at Boscombe Down.
Yeah.
I think it was, if memory serves, and don't quote me on this, even though it's going on video, is it was there was concern if the wing sweep failed and that it wasn't rushed and you get the wing stuck back at 67. With the wing 67, your basic landing speed was 229 knots. Yeah, we used to practice it in the sim, and you'd practice it flying the approach, not to ever touch down, but it was a horrendous nose-up attitude, and then once you touch down, it's getting the bloody thing stopped.
Yeah.
I think Jim Davidson was one. He'd landed with the wing swell. I can't remember what sweep he had, but stuff like that.
It was rare, though, I think, wasn't it, the wings to be stuck in it?
You get the flat slats lock out occasionally, but not normally the wings. You get the wings forward generally. So was it a clearance issue? Because they're not involved in the clearance for the Saudis, that's just through British Aerospace. Yeah. British Aerospace presumably happy to sign it off.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the big, you know, no automatic wing sweep.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, automatic new devices, which the Tomcat had for years.
And when you came back, did you get to share your experience on the Tomcat? Did you bring any of that to the F2, F3 fleet?
Yeah, as all exchange officers did. When you came back, you were debriefed, you know, at the ministry, you know, what was good. And you were debriefed up in Washington. After
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't just a three-year jolly?
No, they used to come around and chat. And so talk about the experience. And it wasn't, you know, it's not trading secrets, just to, you know, was the exchange working? Were we achieving what we wanted to achieve out of it? And yeah, what were the objectives of an exchange? Well, the exchange of ideas. And it's a bit like staff college and advanced staff college, as much as making relationships, meeting people. So for example, had I continued in the Air Force, then I'd had somebody who was a three-star admiral that would be a friend. Mm-hmm. People I'd met on exchange and stuff like that. You know, people like Pappy Ernst, you know, fantastic pilot. He then went on to work, I forget which company he worked with, but ended up meeting him down at Farnborough Air Show.
Oh, right.
So you maintain these liaisons. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about flying the aircraft and tactics, but certainly, yeah, we brought a lot of tactics back, like Pappy's matrix fighting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there were things that we brought back. Mm-hmm. You know, was, you know, 229 was a good outfit? Yeah, you know. There's a lot of good people. I was thinking this morning, you know, I was trying to remember our Sengo's name. And forgive me, I think it was John Hobart, something close to that. We, when the Tornado F2 came in, F3, did the Queen's birthday flypast.
Yes.
Now, in the Air Force, the unsung heroes are the engineers. You know, you always talk about pilots and navigators. So, yeah, but the engineers are the guys that turn the spanners, and stuff like that. Poor old Sengo had 10 Tornado F2s, of which we had to guarantee 9 serviceable for the Queen's birthday flypast. Mm-hmm. And I think, if memory serves, I don't think we only had 10 crews. But bless him, got all 10 serviceable. Well, him and his engineers. And so we did a very successful Queen's birthday flypast led by Rick Peacock Edwards.
Yeah, he's been a guest on the show.
So you know P, boss at the time. Mm-hmm. So, Sengo did very well. There was another story to that, I must admit, was in our quarters where we lived at Coningsby. It was the day of the Queen's birthday flypast, which was also Coningsby's open day.
Right.
Okay. So there's a lot going on, busy summer day, and I must admit, and we didn't have any spare pilots, and I must admit, I got out of the shower in our quarters, and it had one of these hot, you know, those oil-filled radiator rails that you put your towels on?
Yeah.
Well, your nerve endings on your derriere are not as sensitive as other parts of your body, and I must admit, go out of the shower, and I bent down to pick something up, and you know, I won't say that it was a burning smell, but suddenly, whoa, and I'd actually, you know, serious burn on that. So I did the Queen's first day fly past with lots of padding down the right hand side.
That's absolutely brilliant. But did you ever get to fly against the F-14 when you flew the F-2, F-3?
No, it's a good question. I look back through my logbook and I was trying to think, no, I don't ever remember flying against the Tomcat. Yeah, we'd bumped into them the odd air show. But,
oh, did you really?
Yeah, but not, you know, met down in Cyprus. But I never remember doing any combat against them. How would it have fared? That would have been interesting. It would have been more tactics, certainly. If it's got a close-in, you know, 1v1 manoeuvring fight, no, the F-14 would have won all day. However, if you're in a 2v2 or, you know, 2v-unknown type environment, then, yeah, providing the ADV got their tactics right, yeah, they probably could be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anyone hasn't watched it, go and check out Phil Keeble's.
Feebles, yeah.
Yeah, but you also spent some time on 43. Can you tell us about that tour?
Yeah, so what happened? It was interesting. Well, interesting in a number of ways. So where had I been? Off to the ministry, Gulf War One, not during the war. I was out there as the ops officer setting up, again, with Rick P.E. I don't did talk about his Doran time.
It was a long time ago. He probably did. I can't really remember.
There you are. We're coming to 43. But so I'm at Coningsby, boss of the QI course, running that. We're over at Valley doing missile practice camps. We're trying to develop the AIM-9 just a little more. Gulf War, the invasion has taken place in the August. I think it was August 8th, if memory serves. And about 3 days later, boss Diddy Phil Owen rings us up and says, Leggy, you're on 48 hours notice to move.
No.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So about 6 hours later, Leggy, you're on 24 hours notice to move. Okay. So next day, calls up, says, right, take an aircraft, get your ass back here. You've been mobilised. Okay, fair enough. So what are you? He said, you're going down to Bryce. Okay. So got home, got all your kit, medical centre, and I'd been jabbed, left arm, right arm, both bums, and stuff with all this stuff. Yeah, it was good. So the Pembroke, was it Pembroke? There's Battle of Memorial flight there. It was either Pembroke or Dove, can't remember what aircraft they have. Basically threw us down to Bryce Norton. So got down to Bryce Norton, and there's all these people walking around with TCW and TSW. On their shoulders, on their combat uniform. It's TAC comms wing, TAC supply wing, but I'd never heard of them before.
Right.
So anyway, you get down there, and Rick P.E. is down there as the boss, because he's going to be the DECO. Mm-hmm. And he says, right, Leggy, we're off to Doran. Where's Doran? I'd never heard of it. Because what I'd been briefed was we were going to Cyprus to set up the air headquarters at Cyprus. No. We were going to Cyprus to brief the crews in Cyprus. We were then going on to Doran to set up the air headquarters with the Saudis and the Americans, which is what we ended up doing.
Right.
From August through, I think, I came home back end of November.
Right. Wow.
So that was a chance. So, done all that. Back to the ministry, done a tour in the ministry, staff college, and then director of public relations for a short while, Gordon McRobbie, and then due to take over 43 Squadron. So I was up at Coningsby on the OCU, going through the refresher course, when the OC at the time, a chap called Air Marshal Bagnall, bless him, lovely chap, and I'd worked with him when he was ACAS in the Ministry of Defence,
right.
Comes out, he said, Pete, good to see you. he said, yes, he said, course is finished. No, sir, I've got a, you know, couple more weeks here. Finished. He said, no, you're not listening. Your course is finished. I've fired your predecessor. I want you to go and take over 43 Squadron. You're due to go on July flight in a couple of months. I want you to tell me if the squadron's operational.
Really?
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So that was it. Went up, took over 43, and... yeah, good team, good up there. A few people moved on, but and did a good job. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loved every minute being the boss up there.
Yeah.
And, well, again, one of my good friends, a chap called Ian Howe, was the boss of Tremblers, Trouble One Squadron up there. Now, you know there's normal rivalry between the two squadrons, but we'd known each other of old, so we were good friends, and so we worked together.
Right.
Yeah, and so...
yeah, because there's always that rivalry, right?
Yeah, there was for...
Roy told me about that, yeah, like it's like a football team or Celtic Rangers.
Well, exactly that. We did play football against each other and stuff like that. Yeah. But because we were good friends, so, you know, we agreed to share aircraft. If they were short of an aircraft, we had, you know, right, okay, you borrow one. Standard rules. You bend it, you mend it.
Yeah, don't bugger it.
No, no, if you bend yeah. it, you mend no, it, yeah, but yeah, stuff like that. So we worked well as a team up there.
Yeah.
And again, he's still a friend. We both ended up with Virgin.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. So overall, did you enjoy your time on the Tornado?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the aircraft that I perhaps wanted it to be. Probably wasn't the aircraft the Air Force wanted it to be. But you're working with a lot of really good people, got to do, you know, fantastic things. Think about all the stuff we did with the Tornado. So I did the first squadron exchange with the suite.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, up there. Okay, we didn't fly up there, you know, we didn't do any combat against each other because of the local rules. But certainly met with them, looked at them, we got to fly in their aircraft.
They was got it the Viggins at the time, was it?
The Viggins, yeah.
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 Viggins, yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. Went to Budapest. Flew against the MiG-29s out there. Again, that was a lot of fun.
Now, that is like?
Oh, yeah. That is an awesome aircraft. Absolutely awesome.
Did the F-3 stand a chance?
Again, tactics. No, one-on-one, no, it's going to eat you alive. You know, let's not lie. But, no, the tactics, yeah. Then you could work against it.
That must have been incredible, yeah, going yeah. against the MiG-29s.
Yeah, exactly. No, a lot of fun there. So, yeah, got to do a lot of, you know, good things with Rick P.A. We went on the first Swift Sword.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so yeah. We flew with, who was it? So Gladys was in his back seat.
Yeah, right.
And Bob Burden was in mine. So we flew from Coningsby, taking off, what, it was about midnight we took off? Yeah, no, it was midnight, I remember it. But yeah, and flew all the way out to Amman. So that was, I think it was about 12 hours we ended up tanking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was like the sales tour kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, because what happened there, went out there, worked with the Navy, the Jaguars in Amman, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We then came back to Cyprus because it had to be distinct and separate. And then we flew from Cyprus, Rick P and I, into Jordan.
Mm.
And that was an interesting thing. King Hussein came down, visited us while we were there. Gave us some very nice presents. I'm sure we've still got them around here and there. Was all declared, of course, to the ministry. But yeah, no, interesting times.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly interesting times. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many hours did you get on the F2, F3?
I'd have to look at my logbook, but it was over 2,000.
Oh,
wow. I think it was about 2,200 in the end. But bear in mind, what happened was, after 43, I went to OR working on the Eurofighter project. So I left the Air Force in 99 because I had no bit. I didn't want to be chief of the air staff and stuff like that. Yeah, working in the ministry wasn't really my forte.
Right.
Wasn't, you know, did I enjoy it? It was a job, but I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. All I've ever wanted to do was fly and stuff like that. So natural for me was then I joined Virgin in 99 on the 747-200 nice. As then was. Yeah, it was. Really good. However, you've not been a proper airline pilot until you've been made redundant. So after 9/11...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly that. Wow. So I got made redundant. Fair enough. So I went back to the Air Force as a full-time reserve, flying the ADV again with 25 Squadron up at Leeming.
Not a bad gig.
Exactly that, except worked straight back into Gulf War II. That was a bit of bad timing, but such is life. But again, there, as a flight attendant reservist, you have all the fun, but not the responsibility of being boss and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it was an absolutely fantastic time. So yeah, so how many hours I had in 99, don't know. But at the end, probably about 2,223, somewhere around there.
Not bad.
Yeah, you're not bad.
So to wrap up the interview, we've got some personal questions, if you're happy with those.
Go on then.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, to have time for hobbies. You know, I would say, like gardening, I used to play squash. You can see the effect that has, trying to get in and out of the aircraft, stuff like that. Not really that. I enjoy cooking, stuff like that. Yes, and let me turn the question around for you then. Right. So despite my dashingly good looks, back in 2020, I hit 65. So at 65, you can't fly commercial anymore.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah. So you have to retire. The current rules, just the way it is. So I thought, nah, you know, I'm happy not to be flying anymore, but that wasn't good. So went back to the Air Force as the adjutant over on 606, a reserve squadron at Benson.
Okay.
So I'm actually too old for the job, but I don't think there are any other applicants. And an old mate, Gazza Coleman, was the desk.
Yes.
You know Gazza?
I know all of them, yeah. I've met him, but yeah.
Well, so he was the desk officer. I said, yeah, I know, like, he can come do the job. So it's for a 1-year contract until they found somebody else. And then after a year, the boss said, wouldn't mind staying on for another year. And I said, yeah, go on then, I'll give you another year, stuff like that. But then it came too much, you know, it was full time, stuff like that. And, you know, my good lady at home, plans, do this, do that.
Right, got it, yeah, I see what you mean.
So then went to a company called CRM Aviation Europe, who teach upset recovery training to young pilots going through airline transport pilots licenses, and also do what was then the MCC, multi-crew cooperation course. So teaching two pilots working together. Yep. Fell out of that. Long story short, I'm now the head of training over there for my sins, although part time. But again, it's the things I love. The boss there, delightful chap, Rob Howarth, said to me, wouldn't you be interested in doing the UPRT, the flying side of the house? And the honest answer is, my background, perfect. But no, you know, I still love flying. But no, that's not for me. My takeoffs equals landings, and I kind of like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I'm just happy, you know, running the APS MCC side of the house and stuff like that. So your question was, what's my hobby? Well, that's kind of my hobby. It's, you know, even though it's a job, it's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy teaching human factors.
Favorite aircraft you've flown?
Tomcat.
You know.
You didn't even need to ask that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But while I say that, Tomcat, yeah. Commercial, 787.
Right.
Dreamliner was that. It's a beautiful aircraft to fly.
Mm.
And one of the things that you come in, I said to you earlier on, to come in looking at this, looking at the Hawk, looking at the Hunter around the other side, my God, how did we ever fly those things, you know?
Steam gauges everywhere.
Where's the GPS? Where's the information? You know, where's the glass screens?
Yeah.
But the 787 had that, and it had a head-up display.
Yes, absolutely. One you'd like to fly, either past or present?
I'd had a ride in F-15, F-16. What am I? Yeah, Raptor.
Right.
The F-22, that would be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, normally everyone says Spitfire or Mustang or something like that.
No, see, that's I admire the people that do that and stuff like that, but no, it's mine's more, not being rude to them, more modern technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Which was quicker, the Tomcat or the Tornado?
Tomcat.
Was it really, even down low?
Ah, it depends what you could.
I'm going to say down low, let's say.
So when you asked the question, I thought, right, I've been to 1.97 in one of these. And I remember one time we had a race, Bob Burden was involved in that. I'm not sure Gladys was with us. We'd come back from the QI course at Lucas, and we were dashing back down to Coningsby. And there's four of us. We set up line of rest across the north.
All Tornadoes?
Yeah, we're F3s, I'm sure we're F3s, not F2. So four of us, line of rest, right, go, and see who could get the fastest.
Oh, wow.
And we were pawpawing, you know, up, down. And I think 1.97 was the time. I think somebody might have got to 1. We never got Mach 2, any of us. I think to get Mach 2 out of it, you could do it. If you didn't, I was looking for the wings, of course there aren't any, with the pylons off and stuff like that. You'd have to have a clean tornado.
Do you know Jerry Ward at all? Jerry Ward?
No, not Graham Ward.
Jerry Ward, he said he got 2.25.
Jerry Ward?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Jerry Ward, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but I would think probably that'd be a clean aircraft. Yeah. I bet he wouldn't have had the pylons on, I would guess. Yeah, I don't doubt it, but it sounds like that. But no, the Tomcat, yeah, you could get it to Mach 2.
Okay.
No problem with all those things on. Now, going back to your question, low level, no, you're probably right. I bet the Tornado is a bit quicker. We were limited to, don't quote me.
Was it 750 knots?
Yeah, I was thinking it was 750.
I think it was 850 from the factory, but 750 in service. I think that's...
Yeah, because what could happen... Oh, this is... You've got me digging back in my brains now. You could get little flash fires of oil around the turbine.
Oh, okay.
Right, you'd get a TBT, that was it, TBT overtemp warning. And what it was this little flash fires in the engine, stuff like that, if you wound it up to about 750, 800 knots. But yeah, probably, yeah, Tornado ADV low level.
One
yeah.
for the Tornado then. But yeah, so overall, did you enjoy your flying career?
Yeah, you know, people say, would you have changed anything? No. No.
No, I wouldn't either.
No, I wouldn't be here now. You know, some things, yeah. Life is full of ups and downs, but I think generally I've had more ups than I've had downs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've enjoyed it, yeah.
Well, Pete, thanks very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure.